Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Midday Show. This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. John Fricke in for Andy Bunker. He'll be back tomorrow with Randy Mack. Of course, the most important story of the day, of course, Falcons win again. They've won 5 of their last 6. They have increased their lead in the NFC South. It is the most important story of the day. Brought to you by QC
Thank
Kinetics,
you, John.
Non-surgical treatment for...
Yow! You got it, John. Oh, there you go.
Now? Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Not now?
Great catch. Great throw. Great play call. Yeah. I mean, that was just one-on-one against one of the best corners in ball, and Drake London won the matchup. Great throw by Kirk. Go get it.
Yeah, go get it. And, you know, hopefully he didn't get hurt too bad. He was riding a bike afterwards, and so it looks like he might be okay. So, you know, just shoot him up. A lot of good drugs here. Sorry about botching that. I haven't done it in a long time.
I know.
This is brought to you by – yeah, I didn't get it perfect. It's sort of like –
No. You had it perfect, life, John. That's why I kept saying. I said, no, John, you got it.
Perfect.
It's perfect. You got it, John. It's perfect and everything. But, no –
okay is okay.
It's perfect, just like that throw was it to Drake London, because he put it only where Drake can get it. Drake did a great job controlling the ball, hitting your hip on the ground like that, especially on any surface, but especially on that turf like there in Atlanta. I mean, I said earlier today that came back, he has a hip pointer talking about Drake London, and it's going to be a pain tolerance type thing. I don't know how much he practices this week and everything like that, but like you said, it's about the tolerance. I don't condone sticking needles in your body, but, you know, we all got to do what we got to do sometimes to get up in order to play a football game. But
what do you mean you don't? Do you ever go to the dentist?
Yes.
Okay. Just saying.
I don't like
going to proper needles.
I don't like going to the dentist, John. I like playing football. All right. And so the fact that me liking playing the football, I'm going to get that needle, you know. But if I go to the dentist, I'm like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I know, but you got to get the needle. So I
understand
needles at times.
You don't have to get it. You just can have just bad teeth and you know, bad toothaches and your stuff be falling out and everything. I need to play football. John. I need to play.
Yeah, I know.
I need to play.
I need to eat. So there's that. Oh, God bless America. All right. It's all good. I knew I would get this text when I said, and I went through the Falcons' math, that if the Bucs lose tonight, that the Falcons are 3 games ahead. I knew I would get, John, the Falcons will be 6-3, Tampa will be 4-5. It's 2 games ahead. No, again, I have to explain this to you for 1,000th time. The Falcons own every stinking tiebreaker, okay? So the Bucs, the only way the Bucs win the NFC South is to have a better, I guess, in theory, they're 2.5 games ahead, because I guess Tampa could get a tie.
Right.
And, you know, right. So they're at least 2.5 games ahead, probably 3 because ties are so rare. Tampa has to be clear of the Falcons. If it's a tie between the two, if Tampa makes up 2 games and they're tied, Falcons win the division.
Well, John. You answer to well, actually, people. You know, that's your thing. I don't, well, actually can just, well, actually, you know what? But that's just my thought process on everything, John. But, I mean, no, they can, they right now they have control of the South. We understand that. They have 2 more games. I'm talking about the Falcons. They got to go to New Orleans this weekend, and they got Carolina coming here. They should not lose either one of those games. Hey, all right, that's what I think. I think the Falcons are fine in the South. Now, of course, you got to go out there and take care of business and everything like that. But as long as they take care of it, no matter what the hell Tampa does, Tampa's not winning tonight. Unless, Baker goes bonkers and the Chiefs just forget to show up. No, I don't believe that's going to happen. But, no, I just think that, you know, the Falcons are the best team in this division. But are they the best team in the NFC? Can they compete with some of the better teams in the NFC? Well, you're going to get to see a couple of the better teams in the NFC down the stretch. Talking about Minnesota, we're talking about Washington, teams like that. You're going to get an opportunity to see them down the road to, compare or whatever you want to call it to those games.
Right, because I think if you start looking at this, look, you got two games to the bye. You're favored going down into the swamp by 3.5 over the Swampers down in Stinky Town this week.
Which is weird. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm about to be more.
And then you might be favored going into Denver against the Broncos.
Yeah.
Right before the bye, or maybe a pick 'em, going up to you know, whatever they call Mile High these days.
Is it still in Vesco?
Stadium names. I don't know. Beats a lot of me.
It's been a long time.
I don't know. Against Bo Nix and the Broncos. And look, it's never easy. It's the NFL. This is why, you know, you say to people, look, it's never easy. It's the NFL. Oh, we should beat these guys. But there's going to be a first-time coach down there in the swamp. It's hate week. You know, it's never easy. They outplayed Carolina by 1.5 miles and somehow managed to lose the game.
Yep.
Look, the Falcons should have coasted against the Cowboys, and yet they didn't. You know, they let the Cowboys kind of leak back in, and all of a sudden they're doing a stupid onside kick, and I'm going, oh, my God, are we going to have that Julio thing happen over again? And, you know, thank God Kyle Pitts made one of the better plays of the game, recovering an onside kick. Okay, say what you like. Hands team, you know. So never easy in the NFL, and everybody seems to assume. It's like, though, if you get good in the NFL, Randy, and you played in the league for so many years, and you know what it's like. You've been on both good and bad teams. When you get on a good team, your fans suddenly think like, oh, it's Alabama versus Southwest Louisiana.
No, this league is crazy. Reason this league is crazy is the reason that people are already on this new coach energy, Falcons going to New Orleans, because you know – because of the trend that we've seen lately. You remember when damn Jeff Saturday left the damn ESPN stage, went to head coach the damn Colts, and they won his first damn Sunday? I mean, it's amazing how you get that new coach energy, that new vibe, that new energy, all that crap. Derek Carr could throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns and all those different things because it's a new coach energy and not win another damn game. John, I've been on the new coach energy team. It's a real thing. For some reason, we saw last week with the damn Cleveland Browns and Jameis. They beat the damn Ravens.
Well, we saw it with Raheem Morris when he took over for Quinn.
You remember that? Yes. We just saw it. And so, no, it is a real thing. And it's funny because it's the Saints, it's the Falcons going to New Orleans. And, you know, as bad as they have been, I don't know a lot. I think Saints fans will be in the building because they feel that new coach energy and everybody's tired of Dennis Allen and everything like that. And then you got the Falcons coming to town. So, yeah, it could be that way. But but the thing about it doesn't have to be that way. And the Falcons go down and take care of business because with all that, they're not good. This guy, John, they're not good. You know, and that's the thing about the Saints is they're not a good football team, you know. But you go back to the whole, well, they got the new coach, whatever, whatever. They're just not good, you know. And the Falcons yesterday, I thought it was a good win for them. And you don't want to nitpick too much. I thought Kirk Cousins was great yesterday. I thought that the Bijan was really good yesterday, John. Defensively, Kaden Ellis was outstanding. They got the 3 sacks that you need. Grady Jarrett was dominant. You know, like you mentioned earlier, he went out with the Achilles strain, but it seems like he's going to be okay, and hopefully he'll be ready to go. But, I mean, the Falcons are better than the Saints. Man-to-man.
Again, I don't have a problem with anybody nitpicking. I'm complaining, too, about the defense, but I just want everybody to understand the level at which we are complaining and nitpicking. What we're complaining and nitpicking about is the fact that the defense is not playing up to the level of the offense. It's a defense that is not playing up to our belief that this team can win a Super Bowl. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about, you know, being relevant. We're not talking about 500. We're not talking about making the playoffs. We're not talking about winning the NFC South. I think all of those are pretty much in or close to being in the bag. What we're talking about is, hey, can you get to a level, you know, to play for a Super Bowl here with this team? And the question is, we got to get better on defense. And we got to get – there's certain areas we have to improve upon. And will they make a move or two by tomorrow? And I'm of the opinion that they ought to push all in. I think they could probably get Calais Campbell fairly cheaply out of Miami.
Oh, I agree.
And then get somebody else, you know.
You're going to have to give up. We know this. You're going to have to give up compensation and get a couple players. They need a guy like Calais Campbell, definitely. Do you need a pass rusher? Definitely. Can you pull both of those moves off within, what is it, 1:10? So with trade deadline ends at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Usually about 4 o'clock, right? And so can you get all those things done by then? I'm pretty sure that Terry has his phone out. He's calling people, everything like that, asking maybe this player's agent okay, what's their offer? We'll give you this. But the more importantly, it's more or less like, what are you going to give the team? Because you can say to the player, well, what does the team want for their compensation? And you get to a situation where the player, well, might look at Atlanta. Say, for instance, you're looking at Za'Darius Smith. And Za'Darius is trying to pick between the Falcons and the Lions. What's the better situation for you? Well, both of them need you. You know, both of them need you and everything like that. Who's on a winning path? Lions are like the best team maybe in the whole entire NFL. They're definitely the best team in the NFC, but are they the best team in the NFL? So there's so many things that you have to weigh if you're Terry Fontenot when you're trying to go get one of these guys, Ojulari. What's the guy's name? Landry. Guys like that. What do you have to give up? Now, I don't think it's going to be a big compensation, maybe sixth, seventh round, which is not a lot. But, you know, I just don't see that player out there where they're going to have to give up a first or a second for, because they're not out there. So what do you got to do out there to go and get you a guy that can help with this pass rush? In my opinion, Za'Darius, maybe Ojulari are starters. The rest of the guys just seem to me like they're guys that can just come in and just be a part of a rotation.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two areas. Again, it's not just the pass rush, because I think they schemed up a little bit of a pass rush yesterday. It was something that I was happy to see, and maybe they were just taking advantage of what Dallas was giving them. But you know, letting Caden Ellis taking the shackles off him and letting him loose was a really good thing here. And again, they may have just been seeing something Dallas was doing, but that was a really good thing. So there's that. But this run, I'm more concerned right now with the interior run defense. I mean, these teams aren't, getting, it's not like you got Taysom Hill because he kills us all the time, right?
Yes.
Out there on the edge, turning the corner on you. They're just going, they're going right up the middle. Let's just go right between the tackles. Mm-hmm. And no, let's go between the guards. They're plowing the road and getting 15 yards on us.
Yeah. I mean, it has not been, the run defense has not been where it's been. Dallas came in with the worst rushing team, was the worst rushing team in football. Okay, Ezekiel Elliott's not here. Like he would have made a difference. Whatever. This dude, don't want to come to meetings and all that other crap. These dudes get on my, like John, I played a long time. I played in one of the most exotic party cities in the world. I stayed there all night partying as a rookie and never missed a meeting, never was always on time, never fell asleep in the meeting. How does this fool not come to meetings? You know what? Zeke has always been late to me. This ain't the first time, but now because they bad, they want to suspend him. And I was telling you about, I was telling Bo about Jermaine Burton. This kid, like, when your quarterback does what Joe Burrow did to him, man, I don't want to sit next to you. Get your ass up. How are you late? The team is counting on you to be a fill-in for T. Higgins, and your ass can't get up to go to work on a Saturday. John, Saturday practice or walkthrough starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. What the hell were you doing the night before? Daylight saving time was the next day. So you ain't got no reason not to set your alarm clock. Like, I don't understand this not being on time for work crap. I don't get it and everything like that. But Zeke wasn't going to make no damn difference. Dallas, Jerry getting old now. Jerry getting old, John. And I don't know, y'all about – no, Jerry like a year or two older than you, right, John? Someone in the area? Anyways. Like, they're just not a good football team with a lot of holes, a lot of cap, and everything like that. When you look at them going forward, we don't know what's going on. It's hate. When does hate week – like, hate week starts for you 2 weeks ago for New Orleans, right?
Well, it started just after, it started after the Pam Oliver interview yesterday, and that's hate week.
All right, y'all are not going – people have been getting on my nerves. Y'all are not going to dog my girl Pam now, all right?
No. I'm saying she gets up with the interview and people want, hey, we just beat the Cowboys. I'm like, yeah, no, that's in the past.
Oh, okay. That's y'all not going to get on my girl Pam now.
Yeah.
All right?
No. Well, it's hate week. Hate week's already started. Hey, yeah.
Is there anything specific you make beignets or the Maven cheese?
Hell, I don't make their food. Are you out of your mind? Bless no. Don't you send me any damn beads either. All right, quick break, back in a moment. College football playoff committee poll comes out tomorrow on Sports Radio.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
90-9 the game.
Whatever.
Kirby Smart.
Whatever. Whatever. Hell, John Freaky. Yes, he does know better, right? As a quarterback, you should know better. I should not throw interceptions, right? I should not, you know, should not throw interceptions. Right or wrong? Now, John, you played quarterback, I know, back in the day. So you know this, John, when you're dropping back.
No, I didn't actually play quarterback, but that's okay. I mean, I never played quarterback. It just too demanding for me. You know why it was too demanding for me?
Tell me, John.
Because, you know, I don't exactly run. Well, the 7.240 didn't help.
Well, I mean, yeah, John, you're slow as hell. We know this. I think we all figured that, John. Real quick, I know we got the dogs, but I just saw some Braves news, stuff we already knew. Chris Sale wins NL Cy Young, and I saw, again, right, something that we already knew. The Braves have picked up Marcell Ozuna's option, so we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, but, well, after the Solaire trade, obviously.
Yes, obviously. But I think, you know, the thing with Carson, and I know we talked about it early, and it's and you see it all the time because he got all this newfound fame and everything. He's fallen off. A lot of it, you know, he lost Brock Bowers. He lost Ladd McConkey. He lost those guys that he trusted in, and he knew that he threw those guys they would make a play. Not saying these guys can't make plays, but – and I'm not saying that's the reason he's throwing interceptions, because I don't know what the hell he's throwing the football nowadays, John, and you have – found ways to win the last two football games with three interceptions from this dude, and you've won by two touchdowns. So imagine if you don't throw them, what it would be. And I think that's going to be the same thing going into Ole Miss this weekend. This is such a big game for Ole Miss. Obviously, it's a big game for Georgia. I don't want to minimize that. But I'm talking about Lane Kiffin. What, and you know this better than anybody, because you know, John, you know, that's why I love working with you. You are deep in this college football thing. What has been Lane Kiffin's signature win? This will be it. This will be it.
Yeah. Well, not. I was thinking it was not going back to Tennessee after they put his name on the rock, or I don't know, not actually stepping onto the tarmac when he got off the plane at USC. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
This will be it. This will be it, John.
No, this will be signature win. Marrying his wife. That was probably
okay. But I'm just saying, that's always been my thing against Lane, is because everybody's saying they want Lane. Florida, what big game has he won? This will be a big game, and considering what his team has just done these past 2 weeks of beating it now, Arkansas and South Carolina are not Georgia. I know that crap for a fact. And I think if Georgia plays clean, if Carson doesn't have the interception, we'll go down there and we'll beat Ole Miss by two touchdowns. I mean, even with all the talent they have on, even with all the bulk talent that they have, I think if Georgia plays, and if Carson Beck does not turn the ball over, Georgia should win by at least 13, 14 points down there in Oxford. That's just my thought process. But who knows what he's going to do? Who knows?
This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. John in for Andy tomorrow. Andy's back tomorrow. Randy, you look at – we could sit back here and talk about last week, but let's talk about what's going to happen this week. Tomorrow, the first playoff poll is going to come out, and we have to all understand here, okay?
Uh-huh.
Everything is going to change here. But Georgia has no room for error. Alabama has no room for error. LSU has no room for error. Ole Miss has no room for error. And they're playing each other this week. Alabama's down, you know, in Red Stick playing the Bayou Bengals. And Georgia goes over to Oxford, you know, and tries not to get distracted on their way in.
Yeah, Oxford's nice. Oxford's nice. It's a nice, very nice city, John.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. I've been to 87. I've been to 87 college campuses during my career.
Damn, John, one a year.
Ryan Rank, I've been doing this a long time.
I know, John. My bad. Hey, John. You know, I didn't mean to say it like that. I said one a year. You said 87. So I said one a year. My bad, John. But go ahead. No. Oxford's nice.
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be a stretching, because what do most teams that I know? I played down there twice, and we stay in Memphis. You know, and as long as you stay in the right area of Memphis, you should be fine to get to Oxford. But it's going to be this playoff thing, you know, and it's so crazy because I always refer back to this, our days way back, John, when we first started talking college football, and you and our main man John Chuckery and Chris Goforth were telling me, and you would always say, the playoff's going to expand to 12 teams. Like, why? No, it's not, and it's here now. And so
you did,
John.
I got news for you again.
Yeah.
It's going to 16.
Yeah, you told me this, and I was like, you told me about the players being pairs. There ain't no way in the hell they playing pairs. And you said, oh, they're going to stay in the playoffs. There ain't no way in there. Then the one thing I'm waiting for that you said a long time ago, John, you and Chuck and them.
Super covers.
Yep. I'm waiting on that one now. Because everything it seems like it's heading towards that.
Yeah, okay, it has to. Somebody's got to be in charge. Nobody's in charge of the damn thing right now. It's the Wild West. Yeah, so George goes to Ole Miss, or, you know, when we used to go there, we called it, you know, Young Miss. But anyway, they go to Ole Miss, and they play the Land Sharks or the Black Bears or the Rebels or whatever the hell their nickname is. And Ole Miss has, you know, they've come close. You know, you had Archie Manning. That was a long, long time ago. And, of course, you know, and then, of course, you had Eli Manning. And then, you know, different eras at Ole Miss. But, you know, they've never really kind of ever – they said, can you get over that hurdle? I don't know. I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
This is a hurdle game for them.
They tried – and, John, they pay good money for it. I mean, we talk. I mean, you look at the receivers they have; they are big time. Now they lost Judkins and everything like that, but defensively with Nolan and them boys, John, they like. I still don't know how they lost to Kentucky at home because Kentucky played the perfect game of how Kentucky wanted to play. They slushed it up. You know what I mean? They made it ugly. All those different things. Then you saw the last 2 weeks of what happened, Ole Miss going to South Carolina and Ole Miss going to Arkansas. That offense opened up Jackson Dart, those receivers, everybody just went out there and walked the dog on them. I mean, that looked like a Lane Kiffin. That looked like the team that a lot of people went, I think, weren't they number seven preseason or something like that, John? Somewhere in that, 7-9, whatever.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, somewhere.
Seven, right.
That's
yeah.
What people envision them these last couple of weeks offensively, and they can get it done. We have to go to their house. Georgia has to go to Ole Miss and – you know, go and play a good game with a quarterback who, in my opinion, has the damn yips, who's seeing ghost, you know. And it's unfortunate because you have this team and this defense has played so well and they're back to, you know, looking like a Georgia defense, but they still had made some mistakes in the Georgia game. Malachi, you can't let that guy get past you like that on that big play, the one big play that Florida scored on that. You know, where were these pass rushers that took over the damn game in Texas? You know, Jackson Dart can move. Jackson Dart, now I ain't saying he's damn, you know, he's a kid from Jalen Milroe's and them, but the dude's a very nice athlete. They can run the football. And this is one of those things where Lane Kiffin is still looking for that signature win. Well, he's got the prime. He's got, I mean, it's a 3:30 game and everything like that. And it's still, it just irritates me on Saturday, John, when I heard that CBS freaking jingle, and then I saw Gary, and then I saw our guys, and then it said Big Ten football. Still irritates the hell out of me. But anyway, yeah, it's a 3:30 game.
Still, no, I understand.
It still irritates the hell out of me to see that. Yeah. But anyways, when you look at that part of it, it's like Georgia has got to go down there. If Georgia plays clean, this should not be a close game. But Georgia has not played clean because of the damn quarterback. This dude has just been throwing, like I said, well, John, when we're watching the game and the game comes on and I see all this war paint and all this stuff on Carson Beck, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Who you got something to prove to? You need to go play well. I don't know. And maybe because how bad he's playing, little stuff like that irritates you. You know, when you're playing bad, you're like, well, why his shoes look like that? And why, you know, this little stuff like that when your quarterback isn't playing? Because they've won in spite of Carson Beck. Can we say that? Now, he ended up with over 300 yards, threw a couple of touchdowns and everything, won the Cash Jones little angle route, and then the screen pass to love it. But, I mean, other than that, it's like he's just been bad. He's just been all right this year. He's just been all right. Like, multiple games of multiple games of interceptions and everything like that. Like, how you going to win a championship with that? As good as the defense is and everything, as good a coach as Kirby is, how can you win that way? And I know people will talk about, well, he would – and I saw the clips between Stetson Bennett and how Kirby deals with Carson. Because why Kirby's an elite coach. He knows how to deal with certain players at certain times, especially that quarterback. He know he can go over there and dog cuss Stetson Bennett out. And then it wouldn't affect Stetson's play. Will that affect Carson's back play if he yells and curses at him? I think it will, man. And that's a damn shame that he's that, what's the word I'm looking for? Tenderhearted. Yeah, he's that tenderhearted. I can't say that word on the radio. But he's a little tenderhearted. Like, you got to handle him and kick gloves. You got to, oh, it's okay, Carson. I know you threw three interceptions, but we'll get him next time, buddy. Damn that. We don't win championships.
But didn't we say that at the – wait, hang on. Didn't we say that at the beginning of the year?
Yes.
When he came out with this, you know, I'm a little worried about what they're going to say about me online and on social media. I mean, that, you know, I'm a little worried about how I'm going to handle the pressure under the lights. We all kind of went, whoa.
What are you talking about? You're the quarterback in the freaking University of Georgia.
Why are you saying this?
You're the quarterback in the University of Georgia.
Right.
Are we in to win the championships now? We ain't in there, but to be looking good. But I'm not going to blame it on the model girlfriend and the Ferrari and whatever car that is everybody wants to bring it. I just don't think – I think this is just him right now pressing, him trying to live up to all that stuff. And when you are –
by the way, he's costing himself a ton of money in the draft.
John.
He is plummeting in the draft.
Yes, he is. And so that's another thing that worries you. Is he going to press even more because he knows it? These kids read every damn thing. He knows. He got people that are his people that talk to him about all that other stuff. I'm pretty sure that he knows, oh, man, I got to do something. I got to do something to get myself back to where I was at the beginning of the season as they projected me as a top five draft pick. And that could be freaking dangerous because it can go back to what he's done these last couple weeks, pressing. Trying to make something happen. Now, he threw 6 interceptions last game. One of them in the Texas game, lost and lucky, you got to catch the ball. So I take that away. Then the last one, he got hit on it. He got hit on one. So I'll go four. Even though it's technically a six, I'll go four that you're like, where the hell are you throwing the ball? But he still got to get it going. And the pressing part about it is the one that worries me. Him pressing because he feels like he got to do much.
And a lot of teams are going to be pressing. Keep in mind, Alabama, LSU, and Red Stick this week. The loser of that game
is out.
Alabama or LSU is out.
Yeah.
Out. They're not making the playoff. Georgia is going to be the number two seed in the playoffs tomorrow when they come out with a poll. They'll be the number two behind Oregon. Georgia loses to Ole Miss, they'll be out in the next poll.
You think so?
They won't be in the top 12.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because they're going to be behind so many other teams. In terms of the SEC rankings and how it works, they'll be behind Alabama. They'll probably be behind Ole Miss. They'll be behind Texas again. I mean, well, at the very least, you get what happens. This is the problem, is that you get, with Tennessee coming into town, no less, is that you get into a situation, Randy. This is why it's going to be so fascinating to watch at the end of the year, is tiebreakers to get into the title game. And how does the committee view you if there are four teams for two spots?
Yeah.
And you got to leave it up to a bunch of people sitting in a room going, yeah, we like these guys.
Yep. And then that's where you always hope that as a program, you have that cachet in that room. Be like, well, we understand that they got this loss, but are they not one of the best blank in this blessed 12 teams?
Did it work out in their favor last year?
It didn't because it was four. If it was five or six, yeah, they would have got in. But it didn't work out for Georgia last year because they were four. Because they weren't, you know, because of the fact is that the committee knew that Georgia's one of the best four teams in America, but they just didn't take care of business when they needed to take care of business.
By the way, there's only five unbeaten teams left in the nation. You know that?
Yes, I do.
Miami, Oregon, and the other three are BYU, Army, and Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What's happening to college football?
What's going on? What's going on up there in the Kia Studios? I know Miss the Mavis is all in. Her squad is undefeated.
Yeah, oh yeah, she'd go crazy. Believe me, I'm just it's in a few minutes when we get back. Ask me anything. Grab your phone 404-726-0929. Ask me anything. You want to weigh in on the Falcons? Are they better record? Better where you thought they'd be after week 9 than the beginning of the season? Ask me anything next on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Midday Show on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Ask Me Anything, brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org, where you can ask us anything or weigh in on our Falcons discussion here with John Fricke and for Andy. Let's go to Randy right away to Derek in Mayreta.
Mayreta.
Who joins us 404-726-0929. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. All right. Similar question, one for each of you. Randy, if you could have in your entire football career one play to do over again, what's that one play? And John, you've had a long career. What's one take or one call that you want to do over again?
Oh man, that one play that I could take back. It would definitely be that drop touchdown pass I had in Jacksonville against Florida. Definitely. That would be it. I think, and I wouldn't have stuck my. I would have no. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have tried to one hand catch a pass that got interception one time for a touchdown, for a pick six. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, God, what call I'd have back. I had a call where I called a play. When I was first doing play by play at Wake Forest, and I didn't understand how to do play by play, I do now. Uh-huh. You have to trail the play, And right. So I was like, you know, I called it a touchdown, and it wasn't a touchdown, and, you know, I got to, you know, and LeGrand, somebody's like, no touchdown. I hadn't learned that. You got, when you do a play-by-play, you got to trail the play, let the play happen.
Right.
And then you could call. Yeah, yeah, okay.
They got you.
That's a good question. Yeah. 404-726-0929, Derek in Charlotte. Hey, Derek, welcome to the show.
What's up, fellas? Before I moved to Charlotte, that used to be my last call. I used to be Derek from Marietta. But I want to tell you, the Falcons, they did a good display yesterday. And like you said, Randy, Caden Ellis played his behind off yesterday. And
he did.
I wouldn't be surprised if he should get Defensive Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, too, them Sykes, that played a big part in a win. And another thing is, you guys should try that taco spot in Marietta, El Taco on Powder Springs. That's one of the best spots in Atlanta for Mexican. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, John, you know what the crazy thing is? Caden Ellis played – Lamon played pretty good also. You know, I thought the linebacking court is one of their better games of the year, and they're still without Troy Anderson, who I thought would be back this week.
And J.T. Bertrand.
I thought he'd be back. And so you look at – I mean, I think Troy Anderson is the most gifted of the three guys. You know, but I think Cade, you know, he's played a lot of ball, knows real savvy and everything like that. But, you know, he's not the complete linebacker that Troy is. Troy's complete linebacker without the experience. But you get him back and you might got something in that front seven.
Yeah, no, it would be really great to get Troy Anderson back at 100% and ready to go. I mean, he was NFC Player of the Week. That
yeah,
great
got hurt that same damn game.
Yeah. Yep. 404-726-0929. Ask me anything. You can talk about the Falcons as well as we recap a Falcons victory over the Cowboys and move on to Hate Week against the Swampers down in Stinky Town. Let's go to Mr. Bankhead. Bankhead, what is up?
Yeah, I just want to say y'all been a little hard on Beck. A lot of them passes was right in their numbers.
What are you talking about?
Whoa!
Come on, man. We've been hard on Beck.
Yeah.
Oh, hard on Beck. Beck has thrown 6 interceptions in the last 2 games, and the team's won. I said the one that lost it, lucky. That's not his fault. Lost it, got to catch a ball, and then he got hit the last game. So that's 4 and 7. Where the other 4 coming from?
I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan. But blame the wide receiver. Let's get
there. They got to catch the damn ball. You're right. But what does that have to do with the interceptions?
Let's put the pressure on them now, then come back for Beck later on.
All right, boy. All right, fam.
You know, you Georgia fans, I love how you can play. You're going to be the number 2 seed in the playoff, and all you do is you're blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you won back-to-back names.
Nobody's complaining about
you're
nothing,
be the number 2
John.
Seed, and you guys,
John,
are mad. Hold you guys
on.
Are angry.
Hold on. Did he sound angry? He's not angry. He's pointing out the obvious. They need to catch the damn ball. He's 100% correct.
And, all right. Okay, so
but Carson can't just be throwing it to the other team.
I know, but enjoy this. You know, just a little bit of enjoyment. Okay,
yeah. John. I mean, John Freakin. I think I worked with you before the season started, and you were excited about Nebraska football, and it looked so good.
No more. No, we're not talking about that. Okay, it's not on the rundown. We're not talking about it. Not on the rundown.
Come on, John. Come on,
John. No, we ain't talking about that.
Come on, John.
No, we're a volleyball school.
Volleyball school. In what world is Nebraska volleyball? They're very good. I remember, I think we might have worked that week when they had the outdoor at the stadium and everything, volleyball game and everything. I think we worked together that week.
Well, they've won like 5 national titles.
Yeah, but come on now. That town runs off the Big Red Machine. Stop.
Volleyball school.
Stop.
Bill's in Marietta. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
So, got a question.
Yo, Bill.
Hello?
We got you.
Can you hear me?
Yep. We got you.
Okay. The Falcons getting their money's worth on Matthew Judah, because I don't see it. And Carlin, Dukes and Bells have been bringing up, what do you guys see?
Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you this, and thanks for the call. And John, I watched a lot of that yesterday. He made a hell of a play because he saved touchdown because that was 6. He ain't rushing aggressively. And that's just me watching and knowing what type of player that he is. I'm watching him rush, John, literally just watching him. And he ain't making it challenging a lot of times on the tackles. That's from what I was watching yesterday. Now, John, that's just my bird. And somebody might have saw completely different, and we talked to another analysis and all this stuff. I'm just going by from what I see. And I watch a lot of ball, John, and especially when I'm just focused on a specific player. And I was watching them red sleeves. He just ain't rushing aggressive like he should. That's just my thought.
And the way you know that is he drawing a lot of holding penalties? Yeah. And the answer is no.
And there were some calls where he got held. I'm not going to say it wasn't because it was some. But he just, like, that that was the big thing about Judon. Judon's a technician, but the motor. And I didn't see it yesterday. I'm 100%. No, I didn't see it.
To answer Bill's question, the answer is no.
Yeah,
the
I didn't see
no.
it.
You haven't gotten your money's worth.
Yeah,
so
I didn't
far,
see it.
Now we got plenty of games to go here.
Yeah.
We're lucky we got 10. So let's see. I mean, look, you got to hold him to account.
I agree.
Did make a really big play yesterday.
And you remember,
but,
he made a great play because he saved a touchdown because that was out the gate yesterday. But even Ross said it. Remember last weekend and some of the clips that we played and everybody played? Ross even said it. He know why we brought him here, and he's not living up to it. Oh, real quick.
There could also be, and by the way, I'm not trying to defend him, but there could also be a scheme reason. You know, they may be saying, you know, look, you.
Ain't no,
you know,
no.
Setting the edge first, rushing second.
He played in a Bill Belichick defense. Setting the edge is the first part of that defense. It ain't got nothing to do with school.
He's not beating his guy.
Real quick, John, Dak Prescott, hamstring injury, worse than initially feared, expected to miss multiple weeks. So he's going to be out for a while.
Oh, you mean the Cowboys season's over?
Yes, he's out for a week.
Like it was before he got hurt?
Yeah, whatever. He's out. Yeah, so Dak's out for a while. Dak's out for a while.
I'm not laughing at the Cowboys. Oh, yeah, I am.
I mean, we all – you know what? And it ain't even hate
I'm sorry.
Against the Cowboys.
You earn it, you know?
We ain't even hate against the Cowboys. We just don't like the Cowboys.
Yeah, look, no. Well, nobody does, except people in Dallas. Ain't nobody I always love that. The irony is America's team when everybody in America hates them.
Yeah, but remember, like John, you were in your rolling 40s back in those days when they were America team with Starbuck and being on the only team on TV and everything. So that was you.
I was a kid when Starbuck was playing quarterback. Unc and Kirkwood. Unc, real quick. I got about 30 seconds. Go, Unc.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Randy, I want to call and get your assessment on Kirby and his preparation. See, one thing that I know, and just listen to Kirby and listen to the players, Kirby prepare guys for every situation. I'm just wondering how often and how much, like, it's three, we would be down by 10 or down by 3 in the third or the fourth with two turnovers already in the curve. We can't throw no more picks. How are we going to get out of this situation? I just believe Kirby have his guy prepared for every situation.
But you got to let him. We got 20 seconds. You got to let him finish.
No.
You got to let him answer.
Yeah. Okay.
One game at a time.
I agree with you on that.
All right,
one
let him answer.
I've been to a Kirby practice, and I'm like, damn. I mean, they go over every damn thing. They really do. And very rarely does Kirby's team get beat by being unprepared. They get beat because the team just beats their ass. And that's the thing with Alabama. And sometimes he presses into things like that. But, I mean, I'm not – my thing with this whole Carson Beck thing, John, is like, there's something wrong because this dude is just throwing uncharacteristic type picks. Where are you throwing the ball to? Sometimes a guy just makes a better play than your receiver. Sometimes, but with Carson Beck, these last games, the Texas game and the Florida game, outside the one off, lost Lucky's hand, and then he got hit in the Florida game. Where the hell are you throwing the football? Those are my questions with Carson Beck. Where you going, son? You know, because you see the talent. Yep. He could put the ball every single way. But then some of these interceptions, like, where you going? You're absolutely correct, John. This man has killed his draft stock. Killed it.
Yeah, but let's get to takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day.
All right, takeaways of the day. My takeaway is that John said he has a paper bag buying company that needs to go down to New Orleans or something like that, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're buying paper bags for the all the Saints fans.
Yeah. I got two quick. Bo, you got a quick bumping in with Death Dirge songs.
No.
Dude, you can't do that.
No.
And Randy still does not get – Randy, I love you, but you still don't get that bowling is dangerous.
Oh, so if there's one thing that Saints fans and Cowboys fans can agree on, it's that we both love watching the Cowboys get their ass kicked.
Yeah, man. It's a great feeling. Hey, John. Hey, man, it has been fun like it always is, brother. I do appreciate you so much, man, for filling in today.
Randy, Death Dirge to end the show.
I, It's him being petty. You're the reason he's doing it. Like, if it was me and Andy, he would not do this. But it's because it's you, John. That's the only reason. It's you. You bring this out of him. And
I got to defend my city, John.
And then we get the backlash. Randy, why are you lying? It's like, it ain't me. It's John Fricky that does this. He never does this unless you're here, John. You know that, right? As long as you know.
I'm bringing him a paper bag soon. Free. I'm not even going to charge him.
Appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate you, my man. All right, guys, we will wrap it up. We will get see what Dukes and Bell got coming up next here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.